kind of bring it up, and it's your choice to talk about it. All your friends were starting to get into, you know, adult movies, and they used to bring them around.
I remember I went into the studio, and I was like, damn, bro, it was a dope studio. I just loved the vibe because it was dark, it was grimy, it was raw, and I was all about that, right? Man, I could have died, bro. But my wife told me, and she said, you know what? You're trying to change the world. Your life is a mess. Like, you're not keeping it 100 with your kids. This is the part that I'm not too proud to share, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I always contain of sharing my testimony.
Ya está, podcast, boy. Ya estás, no vuelvo pa' atrás, libre del Alcatraz, en la guerra tengo paz. Mis metralletas es la oración y adoración, salvación pa' mi nación, manifestar el reino es la meta. Puesta la armadura, que las criaturas andan duras de la dimensión oscura, mi alma se apresura.
Hey, welcome to Ya Estás Podcast. Today we have a special interview, man. Something that we've been waiting for a long time to share, bro. And I think because, you know, I don't know why, man, but he's kind of shy. Probably you guys don't even know who he is. You guys probably don't even know who he is. Or you guys probably do. But it's my friend, a co-host or the host with the big biceps, Fernando.
Calmate, calmate. ¿Cómo estás, bro?
Good, good, bro. A little nervous. You know,
nervous,
man. I'm not used to being on this side of the seat. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think it's about time.
Man, I want to say something real quick. Like, I just really want to appreciate everybody that's been plugging in, all the comments, bro. Just sometimes it. I want to share one quick story, bro. So, during I think it was 3 weeks ago, I received a message from a guy. I don't want to share his name, but he was saying that he was listening to our podcast and he was on his way to pick up a youngster that needed to go to rehab. And he said he was this close on just forgetting about it, bro. He was like, I don't even want to go. This guy's ignoring my calls. He's just asking me for hotel money. But he said, but you know what? I heard your story and it motivated me to go, bro. Holy Spirit, bro.
Man, that's how God moves, bro. I mean, there's a reason why. While we were doing this, you know, and we've just been pushing, and because it's the fire that he lights up in us. So, yeah, man.
Well, I'm excited, bro. Let's start with your story. You're the only person that can tell this story the way it's supposed to be told. So, right. Bro, a lot of people don't know, but you're from Ensenada, right?
Ensenasti in the house.
Ensenasti.
Saludos ahí a toda la raza. Yeah, man. Ensenada, Baja California. That's right.
So share a little bit about your childhood, bro, like your upbringing a little bit.
Well, come from a broken home. That's why I'm so broken. but seriously, though, on a serious note, my parents' relationship, bro, I really don't have clarity on it, you know, because my mom says one thing, my dad says, you know, his thing, and obviously they say it the way it looks better for them. But, I really don't remember my parents being together until I was a teenager. But as my childhood, like, it was on and off, you know. I have a younger sister. I really don't remember when she was born because I was only 4 years old. But yeah, that's, you know, just a very unstable, let's just say, unstable relationship.
What do you mean by saying that you don't remember when they were together? Like, what does that mean? That your dad was in and out, your mom was in and out? Like, what does that mean?
All I remember is that when I was maybe like around 5, I was living with my dad in Ensenada, right? It was just me and him. And my mom was on this side over here in SD. And I remember we would come and visit, or she would go down. And then I was always back and forth, right? That's why SD is, I mean, it's my first home now, you know, but Ensenada is my birthplace. So obviously it has a special place in my heart. But always back and forward. And I, all I remember as well is that I did second grade here. You know, we moved up here on second grade. And, you know, my parents were together at the time. But then my mom decided to move back to Ensenada, right? Because her story is that, you know, she didn't want us to grow up gangbanging, you know, my sister being, you know, having a bunch of baby daddies, you know, me and me being in and out of jail and doing all that. So, especially because my tío, you know, he used to gangbang right there in National City. You know, my nana, my grandma, she lived on 2nd Street, and then then she moved to 4th Street. So, you know, National City obviously is a special place. You know, shout out to everybody from Nasty City. Yes. And, but yeah, I saw the gang culture too, bro. You know, that was part of what's the word I'm looking for? But part of my surrounding. You know, my tío was heavily involved, and you know, all of a sudden his homies started getting killed, bro. All I would hear, oh, you know, Eduardo, you know, he's gone, and you know, Spikey, he's gone, and Striker, he's gone. You know, I'm just making these nicknames out.
Right? Rat beef.
Yeah. El Loco, you know. Pero, yeah, and then one of his compadre, Luis, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he got locked up. And so, dude's getting killed, dude's getting locked up, and then my tío, he got shot at. They did a drive-by right outside of my nana's house. And I heard that one of the bullets went over my nana's head, like it missed her. And then one of the bullets went through my tío's pants, you know what I'm saying, through the crotch. Like, it didn't hit him, you know. Now, thank God. But that's why it never made sense to me. Like, yo, what is this lifestyle about? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like I said, that's why my mom decided to move us back down to Ensenada and just grow up there and, you know, have a better life. But it didn't turn out to be that way.
Were you like infatuated with gangs? Like, did you see gang? Oh, I want to be there.
Nah, like, so when we moved down to Ensenada, I went to the barrio down there too, you know? It's, you know, Valle Dorado, for all those that know Ensenada, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
But it's a little different in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. It's not like up here, no.
Because kids are driving at 10. Like, oh, dude, I had friends that were driving, bro, at that age, bro. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, I started driving when I was, what, 12?
See?
Yeah.
You, mom, they buy your car, and then your mom be like, okay.
Yeah, ve por las tortillas.
Ve por las tortillas.
But yeah, it was a barrio, you know, but it wasn't like here, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not dudes doing drive-bys and doing all that. And, you know, it was hoods.
Fighting, huh? Mexico was more fighting.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the most that you would see is like chains and, you know, picayelos. Remember the, what was this in English? The
ice pick.
Ice pick. You see dudes getting stabbed with ice picks and, you know, but not really guns, you know. That wasn't a thing. I mean, you here and there, but yeah. But I the side that I was on the street, you know, I live with more calm kids. You know what I'm saying? Like guys who were into sports and all that. So I would, you know, I live on that side of the block. So, you know, we were mostly. I had a good childhood when it came to that. You know, playing around with friends and. But one friend, this kid was like, he was a maniaco, bro. Like, I'm sure this dude was being molested or something, bro, because this dude was a freak, you know what I'm saying, at a young age, you know what I'm saying?
I remember, I mean, if I can, I'll kind of bring it up, and it's your choice to talk about it. But I think you mentioned something about, I think you were probably elementary or middle school, possibly. And, you know, all your friends were starting to get into, you know, adult movies. They used to bring them around. Was this in Ensenada that was here?
No, in Ensenada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that dude you're talking about?
Well, so this is, Oh, man, I hate to put my paws on blast. Hopefully he doesn't see this. It is what it is, you know? This dude, bro, you know, even as a young kid, like, I remember one time, and, like, he got butt naked. He's like, hey, hug me. And I was only, like, 5-6 years old, bro. And I didn't know what was going on.
You were small.
Yeah, but he was only, like, 2 years older than me. Mm. So we were little kids, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, what the heck? So that was, like, a weird experience. But through all my therapies and going through that healing, that's something that came to my head. I was like, yo. And then this dude, I remember one time, you know, he was touching my sister. And then, you know, when there was these two houses that there were always people in and out renting, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes there were girls there, and then, you know, they were playing Barbies and stuff. And this dude is like, oh yeah, let's go play with them. And then it's like, grabbing the Ken and the Barbie, bro, and like,
yeah.
Sexual acts with dolls. And I mean, we're kids, bro. We're like, what, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know what I'm saying? But I'm sure this dude was being molested, bro.
Yeah. Definitely sure. Some influence.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. He was being taught that.
Yeah, so fast forward, you know, I was probably maybe around 10 years old or so. And then my mom, you know, she was trying to make ends meet. I mean, my dad would come and visit on the weekends. But there was a period when we went down there, he couldn't go back because he crossed illegally. You know what I'm saying? So, and he was going through his process of getting his papers, so he couldn't go down there. So I would have to come up here to see him, but it wasn't, you know, like every week or so. I really don't remember how often we would come up here. And then my sister, they took her papers away with my dad crossing the border.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's why they couldn't go down there. But my sister, you know, back then, she would just say U.S. citizen, have my cousin's ID.
It was easier, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back in the day, it was easy, bro.
Like, you just cross with a car full of people.
Bro, you never seen the Cheech and Chong movies where they would call Border Patrol? And they would come and get them. You never saw that?
To go back home?
Yeah, to go. They would get a free ride to Tijuana to go to a quinceañera, and then they would come back. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, so your parents were really together but not together, huh? Like, they didn't put a stamp on, we're going to separate, because obviously your dad would go back and he would stay there?
Yeah, yeah. So but my mom would come up here and work on the weekends.
And stay with your dad?
No, my dad would stay down there and she would come up here to work. And then they would, like, switch. I mean, my dad, I remember one time we were up here on vacation when we were living in Esco. And he had a girlfriend, you know. But that did rub me in the wrong way, because he wasn't straight up about it. It's like, oh, it's una amiga, you know, it's like, she's a friend, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden it's like, then I started missing my mom, you know, now I'm starting to get like homesick, like, okay, well, where's my mom at? Like, I don't want to be around this chick, you know, like, because they were trying, to me it seems that they were trying to protect us in a way, but they did more harm than
protecting us,
you know. And I know that wasn't their intention. And, you know, obviously, I forgave them because I know their history. So I know where they're coming from. And that's why it's very important to know your parents' story, you know, because that's how you're going to find out why they are the way they are, why they give you what they give you. Because as parents, they mean the best, bro. But they, you know, they only know what to give of what they have,
yeah,
or what they had. You know what I'm saying? So
to be parents and to perform and to be patient, you know, us as being, you know, men of faith is difficult. Imagine them that they didn't, you know, because my parents, they didn't have no faith. You know what I mean? So it was like, imagine their upbringing on how they deal with their problems, their anxiety, their domestic. You know, my house had crazy domestic violence. There wasn't no violence in your house, like no domestic violence?
No. I just only remember.
You went through when not getting spanked?
Well, I got spanked. Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I remember what my dad one time spanked me because I got home late from my homie's crib, the one, the freak.
Are you still kicking it with dude?
Oh,
after all that?
Oh, yeah, because, bro, I didn't know. I thought it was just like, okay, you know, just being a kid. I mean, there wasn't no, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing that it was traumatizing. I mean, it was, but not, it wasn't a severe thing.
You knew it was wrong, right?
I just had a weird feel like, But it came, like, so the crazy thing about the human brain, bro, is blocks things. Like, it's that's defensive mechanism. It blocks certain memories that kind of bug you, you know what I'm saying? Or if it's very, very traumatizing, it blocks them. And it just stays in your subconscious, and then you live all your life, and sometimes you get
up, huh?
Sometimes there's certain triggers that you don't know where they're coming from, and we react,
you know.
But that just came recently with, you know, going through therapy and all that. But before I get into that, going back into, you know, that porn tape that you was talking about. Like I said, I was home alone, you know. I would hop on buses, bro. I would take the bus to school back and forth sometimes when I was like 10 years old, you know. I mean, that's crazy. That's like Benji's age, right?
Man, I used to do two.
Yeah.
I used to walk like miles
to
go to my school, bro, by myself.
Yeah. I mean, thank God we were in different times, right? Yeah. I'm home alone, and I don't know why it just gave me this feeling to go into my parents' drawers,
personal
drawers, you know, their dresser. I don't even know. I can't really remember what I was doing there, bro. So I'm, you know, looking for some, and all of a sudden I see this VHS tape, and it was, the case was red. So I pull it out, and it was like a silhouette of a naked woman, but it was blurry. So
like it was used up.
No. That was like, man, that tape was burnt. No, it was, that was the effect.
Mm.
And it had a blur effect. Like, you can't really tell.
I thought because of all the fingers.
No. Like I said, it was the effect, but I'm sure that has something to do with it too. So I told my home, because this dude that I'm talking about, he was my best friend, bro. Like, we would come up here and he would stay with me, vacation. I mean, that was my roadie for a long time. And I told him, hey, you know, I found this tape, man, and it just looked weird. And bro, he reacted like if I would have told him, yo, I found a treasure. I kid you not. He was like, what? Like, where is it? And I was like, well, it's in my house, bro. He's like, bro, we gotta go grab it. And I was like, yo, chill. Like, and I was home alone, because I was home alone like almost every day, bro. And this is like, he came over, and then I busted out the tape, and I'm a nerve wreck, you know? I'm just like, my heart's bumping. Like, I'm thinking my mom's gonna pop out of the kitchen or somewhere out of the floor. So put it on, bro, and it was like those like 70s porn, you know what I'm saying? Like wild stuff. Obviously I'm not gonna get into it, and I'm just freaking out. I was like, yo, what, like, what is this, man? Like, you know, and that was my innocence, you know. My innocence was gone ever since then. I remember my tata, bro, my grandpa, he came and was like, he would always knock on the door like he was the cops. I was like, whoa, jump out of the couch. I pull out the tape. I'm like, put it back in the drawers. And yeah, then we put novelas. He came and I opened the door. No, because they were such a rush. And I was like, I just put on whatever, you know, whatever. You know how it used to work? It was weird. But it was just a live channel, and it was novelas. And like, muchacho, you know, ¿qué estás viendo? ¿Qué estás haciendo?
He knew.
And I was like, oh, novelas, like, what the heck, but, you know. So this guy made sure he told the entire block, bro. And we had neighbors. Well, I had a neighbor's two kids. They were altar boys. Man, he brought them altar boys.
Man, los ensució.
Bro, I mean, that tape, when all my homies from high school saw it, homegirls, oh, that thing got out.
Bro, you know what's so crazy, bro, that pornography messes you up, bro.
Big time, right?
And a lot of people don't talk about it because it could be a taboo on people saying that it's okay. But it's not, man. I know people have gone divorced from that. I heard this guy is talking about how our body is a temple, right? Paul says it. He goes, hey, take care of your body because you're supposed to be a living sacrifice because that's the real worship. And he says that's the only way you allow the enemy to creep into your life, bro, by allowing it either through pornography, through the eyes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've had this conversation, you know, about it. And, you know, the way that people now that commit murders, bro, they've been addicted to pornography. And a lot of people that abuse animals are addicted to pornography.
Yeah.
And it's a chain reaction because the dopamine is too much, bro. The fantasy is too much. It's not healthy.
Well, especially as a young kid, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So did that spark something? So let's go to your high school, bro. So what happened? Did you go to high school in Ensenada or here?
In Ensenada.
Oh, so yeah. you went to
Oh yeah, I did almost
Kovash.
Yeah, the Kovash.
They call it the Kovash over there.
Yeah.
So you had to dress up and everything?
Yeah.
You did the white shirt, the uniform with the little chalequito?
Yeah. Well,
you took sandwiches to school? Because big, bro. You take tortas to school.
Because I was a cool kid, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you spent money?
No, I'm saying like I would not be all, you know, I would rock hoodies.
Oh, okay.
Like jackets. Yeah. You know, I wasn't
Mexicano gonna be, out like, there.
I wasn't gonna be all like prepped up, you know. Even though I did go to a private Catholic school.
Yeah.
My parents thought that was the best choice, right?
You went to Catholic school?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have not known.
Yeah.
The way you are.
Well, that's the worst thing you can do to your kids, bro. Send them to the private Catholic school.
Did that affect you in any way? Like to see God like in a different image? Because, you know, going to that type of school, man, bro, they push their propaganda like crazy, no?
You know, I mean, they would do masses and stuff, and but you know, because that's my background. You know, my family, like you know, tradition.
Yeah.
Strong. I remember my mom; she would like push us to go to church, bro. Sometimes she would cry because we wouldn't want to go, you know. But then my dad, you know, when they were kind of together, I guess, you know, we would go, but we would pull up like super late. You know, we never find a seat, bro.
Taking your time to get dressed.
Yeah. And then he would say, oh, con que lleguemos para la bendición, you know, just to get the blessing. Mm-hmm. And then we would drive out for the parking lot. My dad is cursing everybody off, bro. Like, you know, get out of my way.
Your dad's dope.
Beep, beep, beep. Now, my dad, I love my dad, bro. But you know, that's how I grew up. And elementary was cool. But once I got into middle school, bro, because I got kicked out. Once I got into middle school, I just felt out of place, you know, because all these kids had money, like the majority of them. We was broke, bro. Like, one of the reasons why they kicked me out, I was acting up, but if they would do the test, you know, exámenes, the test.
El SAT?
Yeah, they're like, monthly tests, you know, to get your scores and all that. They would pull you out of the class if you hadn't paid your tuition. So,
damn.
I got to a point where I didn't even have to study, bro.
Give me that pencil.
He's like, give me that pencil. I'd just be out in the patio, like chilling and then kicking it with the high school kids. And then I remember one time when I was in seventh grade, because, you know, in Mexico is secondaries, which is first to six, and then secondary, which is junior high.
Yeah.
Middle school. Yeah. And I remember I ditched school, bro, and I went to kick it with these high school dudes, and they were drinking and smoking. And, you know, one of the dudes was a DJ, and they saw me. They saw me ditch and hop on their car. It was a Bronco. And they called my moms, bro. When we pulled back to the school, my moms were like,
she was there.
She was there, dog. And she was like, get out of the freaking car. I was like, oh, dang. But yeah, but still, even though it was a private school, bro, it was still some hood stuff going on. You know, like there was this chick that She was a little older than me, but she was in my class, and she was developed, bro. She had, you know, curves. She was a curvy girl for being in seventh grade, but we had the last name, and then she would always, "Ay, primo," like. She saw me as like a little brother some, and then her boyfriend got all jealous, and this fool was almost like in high school. So one time they went in and they jumped me, you know, because this fool got jealous and they did death threats. And like, hey,
but that's my cousin. He still jumped you.
Well, you know, he was jealous. Like, he knew I wasn't,
I know,
like, your cousin. But
I'm saying, like, you were saying, I'm her cousin, while you're getting jumped.
But I just felt out of place, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, bro, I would go to do homework with my classmates. They all got big old cribs, and you know what I'm saying? They have a big old rooms and playrooms, and you know, because they had loot, bro. I mean, one of my classmates was, she was the daughter of a Miss Universe and a professional tennis player.
They had money.
Oh, bro, they had a fat crib. Like, her dollhouse was almost the size of my house, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I would be embarrassed for them to pull up to my house, you know what I'm saying? And then I would go home and, you know, all without, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, why I gotta go home? Then I'm pulling up to the barrio, bro, and it's dirty and, you know, dog poop all over the place, you know, trash on the side of the sidewalk, on the curb. And I'm like, damn. So, but once I got into high school, that's where I found my spot and you know, just.
Bro, a lot of people don't know, bro, but. Bro, you make good music. Like, when did that start? When did you know you had talent in music, bro? Like, was that
it?
Bro, because, you know, I'm your friend, but bro, his music's dope. Your music's dope, bro. Gracias a Dios. But I'm saying, like, when did that spark up? Like, oh, I can rap, I can write, or I can freestyle. When did that come about?
So that, when my dad was living in Esco, he lived in Esco for a long time. So I was already coming out of high school. You know, I had a girlfriend in high school. She ends up getting pregnant, you know.
How old were you then?
I was 18. I found out she was pregnant when I was 19. So I was like, damn, man, you know, obviously that rocked me.
Did your dad get mad?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously. My parents, her parents. So I started coming up to work because, you know, I was going to be a dad. And I had plans to go to university and everything, bro. I was going to Mexicali. But, you know, all those plans fell apart because I was going to be a dad. So we were living in Esco. For those who know Esco, we were living at Eagles Point. Eagles Point is a grimy complex, bro. It was on the east side of Esco. A lot of gang banging there too, you know, the Diablos against the West Siders and all that. So I had a coworker that lived right across the complex from me. And then she would always kick it with, you know, these black kids, right? And one time she's like, "Yeah, yo, come on, come kick it with us." So I was like, "Oh, yeah, for sure." So I went over there, you know, I'm just smoking weed and doing all that. And I saw they had a little recording equipment, and they were just doing beats, bro, and recording. And I was like, what? I thought only the dudes on TV, you know, Snoop, Dre, Cube. I thought they were the only ones that had that talent. And then that really intrigued me. And then I started paying attention to how they structure the rhymes and all that. And that sparked the interest. And then when I started listening to, you know, all my favorite rappers, Tupac, and, you know, all the West Coast legends, I was like, oh, okay. So, boom, boom, all right. Okay, and then I just started practicing. So then whenever I would pull up to the homie's crib, because we had a set in Ensenada, you know, we call it Casablanca. Saludos ahí para toda la raza, la CBG. That was my crew, you know.
Y'all better share this video.
I would pull up, and they were all wait for me, you know, because they knew when I was going to pull up, what time and everything. And I'm working here, so I got money. I'm pulling up and buying, you know, cases of caguamas, you know, them big coronas and all that. And we would get drunk, faded, you know, and then I would just start busting out rhymes, you know. And then one of the homies, because it was four brothers that lived there, but three would always kick it with us. And every brother had his own homies. So that was the special thing about that crew, is that there was homies from all different hoods. And we would all come together, and it was all love, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was no, yeah, sometimes, you know, there was a little beef here and there, but nothing crazy. So then my homie, he's like, hey, man, I got this PlayStation game, PlayStation 1, from Phone Master Flex. And he was like, hey, man, I'm making beats with this game. He's like, and let's make some music. I was like, what? I was like, all right. He's like, yeah, but let's do it in Spanish. I was like, but I've never rapped in Spanish, because I would do it in English, right? Because that's how it started. And then I was like, yeah, just write some. I was like, all right, bet. And he played me the beat. The beat was hard. And yeah, we recorded on cassette tapes. I remember recording on cassette tapes. For those of y'all don't know that are a little too young, just do your research. Google it, cassette tapes. Yeah. And we got invited to be a part of the first hip hop show in Ensenada. So we were part of the pioneers of starting that movement. And, you know, we took it serious like probably 3 years later, you know, because the homies that invited us, they became part of our crew. You know, they were close homies, and they started touring, they started getting plugged up with cats from all over Mexico, you know, from different states and all that. And then we hopped on board probably like 3 years later. We recorded a demo, and then we started doing shows in, you know, Tijuana, Rosarito, Ensenada. We did some shows here in LA.
But you guys were doing like battle rap, no?
No. It was just, battle rap came afterwards. So through the rapping, through the music, you know, I got plugged up with a crew in Tijuana. This is the part that I'm not too proud to share, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I always contain of sharing my testimony. Because I don't boast up about it, bro. But it was, you know, for those who know, it's this crew called the Border Brothers. And at first, you know, I got plugged up through a homie from Durango, Secreto. Shout out to a homie Secreto there in Cerco Fu. You know, Cerco Fu is big, bro. He's the host of the battle raps, you know, Red Bull battle raps. Man. And like, this dude is just, he's like an ambassador of Mexican hip hop. Yeah, he tours all over the world and stuff, and that's the homie. So I got plugged in through them with the Border Brothers, because they would book them, and they would book big artists, you know what I'm saying? Well, underground, you know, like Psycho Realm and Immortal Technique, and who else? They would take down Sinful, El Pecador, you know, big names from the underground scene. So I remember I went into the studio, and I was like, damn, bro, it was a dope studio. I just loved the vibe, because it was dark, it was grimy, it was raw, and I was all about that, right? And yeah, I started kicking it with them dudes, bro, and you know, they start getting to know me, opening up the doors, and all of a sudden, I found out that, you know, it was money laundering. You know, they had a warehouse, big old warehouse, and they would load up the cars and...
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
It was a business.
It was a business.
Apart from the music.
The music was the...
The cover-up.
The cover-up, man. So...
Bro, so let's fast forward, bro. Okay, so you get that girl... ¿Cómo se llama? That girl? Oh, we don't have to share it. But you get that girl pregnant. You have your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you find... You know, life and rap. So you start doing that. And how did you juggle both of them, bro? Were you commuting back to Ensenada? Because you obviously you're driving already. You're 18.
Yeah.
You're 19 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And how were you able to balance the relationship, bro, and be being a new dad, or was there even a balance?
Well, keep in mind that I did say it took like 3 years to start getting into this rap scene. So, you know, I would work up here and drive down there. I would commute, you know, every weekend I would go down there, and I was literally following my dad's footsteps.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of all do the same thing. We all wear the same chanclas.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I never had a stable relationship with the mother of my kids, because I had two kids with her. And it was very rocky, you know, because she decided to stay with her parents. We were making plans to, you know, do things the right way, even though it started off wrong. She decided to stay with her parents. So I was like, okay, well. What really, really hurt me, bro, and really broke my heart was when my daughter was a newborn, probably like a couple weeks old, her parents came and took them, you know, because they were staying with me, with my parents in Anesco. And when I pulled up, bro, and my daughter wasn't there, you know, and I was like, damn, bro, that was hard, you know. And then the mom was with my daughter's grandma. She was like very possessive and very controlling. So I didn't even have, I wasn't even allowed to take my daughter with me to spend the night. Like, it took almost a year. So that built a lot of anger and towards that woman, you know, my daughter's grandma.
Why were they keeping her away from you?
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, she was probably thinking she wasn't going to be safe or, I don't know. But yeah, so the relationship, we never had a solid relationship, you know. It was, you know, high school relationship, you know what I'm saying? We were kids, bro.
Yeah, kids.
And so, yeah. So then I would literally go down to Ensenada, pick up my daughter, kick it with her, you know, take her, you know, to the park, whatever. Sometimes I would have her there chilling, kicking it with the homies on the corner. And then I would drop her off and then, you know, go back to the homies and party, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, can I say something real quick, bro? You know, when I met you, you don't hide that part of your life. You know, when you shared it, remember when we went to that event in Mexicali? No, El Centro. And then when we came back, my wife was passed out in the back.
Yeah, you
shared your whole story. And I was, if I can use the word impressed, because, you know, a lot of people, they don't share that part of their life because it wasn't a victory. ¿Sabes cómo? Like it was a punch. It was a hole in the road, you know, where you're open about it. And we've had many conversations about it, and the way you express it of what you've learned. And, you know, now that you know, you're a dad, you have a new relationship and you're married and you have beautiful kids, bro. I've seen pictures of them, and you've used that as an example and as a stencil of, I don't want to have that to happen ever again. And to that point, so you go through that. When is that moment you had that encounter with Jesus, bro, where it made you, like, with those life experiences, you know, say, hey, you know, I got to take it easy. I got to take care of what's coming up.
Well, I was searching, bro. I never was an atheist, you know, but I didn't know God. I mean, I knew of God, and the seed was sowed, you know, through the Catholic religion. Cause I don't bash it. I did it in the beginning, but that was my immaturity, my spiritual immaturity. But they did establish that, you know, and I always knew there was a God, you know, but I just didn't know him. So when I started kicking it and doing business, and because I put in work, bro. I put in work with the homies from Tijuas, and they were very, very involved in the whole conspiracy theories and all that. Them dudes, like, would dive deep into all that.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah. But I remember the first time I was living in Spring Valley. right there on Grand Avenue, right in the hood too. I was jumping from hood to hood, bro. And I was the distributor. I had fools, you know, slanging for me and all that. But I was always incognito, you know what I'm saying? But there was this one dude who was like, hey man, I got something crazy to share with you. So he invited me to his apartment and he showed me this video, YouTube video. And that thing shook me, bro.
What was it?
It was, you know, the religious establishment and, you know, the banks and all these conspiracy theories, you know, the whole Illuminati thing. And that thing was like, whoa, you tell me, like, all my life I've been living a lie.
And that's a rabbit hole, bro. You get into that, bro, you can find so much.
That one's deep. That was a rabbit. That was a rabbit telling me, yo, check this out.
Yeah.
And I went deep, bro. So when I told my homies from TJ in the studio, they was like, oh, dog, you didn't know about that? Dude, and you know, weed, I was a pothead, you know. I started around 18, but I started a little older. But then when I was start hanging out with them, you know, I would start smoking meth. And sometimes, you know, sleepless nights and having those conversations. I mean, we would record and do all that. And
becomes times 100 when she started doing that.
Yeah. And just like, man, this is crazy, yo. And I'm telling my mom, I'm telling everybody, yo, they trying to kill us and, you know, they have control over the world. Oh, yeah. I was like, man, they're taking control over the world and boom, boom. And I always worked in the restaurant business over here. And I'm telling coworkers, they look at me all crazy, especially.
I would have looked at you crazy, too.
So I was just, you know, soul searching around, like, yo, where is God? Like, I know this is the devil. Where you at, God? Like, why are you allowing this? You know? So, you know, I was living a wild life, bro. I was living a double life. I would go down in Ensenada and, you know, be a part-time dad. But, you know, I got to a point where I did the same thing that my dad did. You know, I pretended to have a relationship, a family. Because, you know, that relationship with the mother of my kids was rocky from the beginning. And so one time I broke up with her and then I started dating this other chick. And then my mom was losing it. She kept bugging me, bro. My tias and everybody was just on me. And I said, you know what? Like, I got tired of it, bro. I said, you know what? I'm just going to pretend. Does they just leave me alone? And I was just living like a bachelor over here, you know? So that, I met my wife in a job that we had at a restaurant, El Torito, right there in Mission Valley. And, you know, I was just... For those who know,
Mexican food, bro.
Hey, but Wednesdays was popping though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, West Coast Wednesdays, baby. It was like hip hop night. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, so I met her, you know, and I was intrigued because her name was Fernanda, you know, and I was like, well, Fernanda, well, it's interesting, you know, and that's my daughter's name. And I was like, okay, and then I meet her. Yeah, and then I meet her, and I thought she was cute, you know, but, you know, I didn't think much about it. I was like, okay, you know. And we worked for maybe like a month or so together, and one night we were shutting down shop. And you know, she asked me, oh, what are your kids' names? And, you know, I told her, and how many kids you got? I said, I got two, and, you know. Ooh. And I was like, oh, where are you from? She's like, oh, Guadalajara. And at that time, Guadalajara was hot, you know, the cartel and all that. So I was like, yeah, I heard this hot. She's like, yeah, well, that's why we're here. I was like, huh, interesting. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm active, bro. I'm like.
So those are all triggers for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
you heard that, like, oh, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, let's go get a drink after work. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. So we went and got a drink. And, you know, we're talking, and she's telling me her story. I'm telling her my story. But, bro, ever since then, like, that girl has never left my head. She's always in my... And I'm tripping, bro. I'm like, yo, why? Why can I stop thinking about this girl? Like, you know, I'm a player, bro. Like, this is driving me crazy. But I wanted to see her more. And then, you know, took her out on a date, and then we start hanging out, and I'm like, every time I'm just falling deeper and deeper and deeper in this girl. You know, and and like I said, I was pretending to have a relationship, right? But she knew about it. Like, I never lied about, you know, that life that I was living. And she told me, like, hey, I can't take you serious, you know, until you fix whatever you need to fix. And I was like, oh. And I didn't want to, I just felt like if I would miss out on her, bro, it would be the greatest regret of my life. And I said, okay. And sure enough, and I keep in mind that I told the mother of my kids one time, because, you know, we got into it, and I said, you know what? I'm just gonna live my life. You know what I do for a job? You know, I'm a bartender. I get girls all the time. You know, if you want to live like that, just keep it. I'm just gonna keep it 100. And, you know, and she was like, she didn't say nothing. I was like, all right. So when this opportunity came, I said, you know what? But my wife told me, and this is a crazy thing. This is a bar that she dropped on me. She said, because I was telling her about the conspiracies and all that, right? And she said, you know what? You're trying to change the world. But your life is a mess. Like, you're not keeping it 100 with your kids. And you're trying to tell everybody the truth, but you, it's like, why don't you fix your situation? And I was like, oh, dang. And then one time I was on my way from Ensenada to up here, and I took La Libre, you know, from Valle Guadalupe to come up here. And I remember, bro, my car started swerving, and I spun, bro, and it was a curve, yo. And I spun.
Was it raining?
A little bit, but nothing crazy. And I just hit the side of the hill. Bam! Because, you know, it's a two-lane road, one each way. And, bro, I just got freaked out. I was like, man, I could have died, bro. I literally, that was God up 100%. Excuse me. So that just made me go into deeper thinking. I'm like, man, you know, I need to fix what I got going on. So fast forward, you know, I fixed what I had to fix. I kept it 100 with the mother of my kids. I mean, I didn't tell her I had a girlfriend now, but I said, yo, I just got to move out, which is, I'm done tapping out. And then my wife, she came up here illegally. And, you know, she started expressing her, you know, the issues that comes with that. And it just felt heavy in my heart. I said, hey, well, I can help you. I mean, I've never been married. I'm a citizen. And I became a citizen so I wouldn't, because I didn't want to become a citizen, because I'm like, nah, I'm going to sell out. I was 100% Mexicano, paisa, ooh, you know? Like, I was on that, the ranchero flag, you know? But once I started moving weight, I was like, man, if I get busted, I'm going to get, you know, I better have everything straight. So that's why I became a citizen. And I told her, and she didn't say yes or no. She just thought about it, and then, so we started dating, you know, and obviously the feelings kept growing and growing. And I told her again, hey, let's get married. So we got married 6 months into the relationship.
6 months into
the relationship. But I didn't tell nobody, bro. So, and she's like, hey, are you gonna tell your family? What's up? Because we planned a wedding and everything so it can look legit, you know what I mean? And so I told my mom, she flipped out. She went crazy and crying. And what happened is that my mom got in the shoes of the mother of my kids.
Yeah, of course, that image.
You know, it's like, her. Oh, you're doing it like.
Yeah, you're like your dad.
Exactly. So she flipped out. So she didn't go to my wedding. My dad did. Because, you know, my dad is like, well, you know.
Tú eres un espejo.
Yeah, I'll support you, man, whatever. You know, she's a pretty girl, so. So the only family members that went was my sister and my dad. And, but, yeah, it got rocky, bro, the beginning of the relationship. It was.
So who told you about Jesus?
I heard, I started following, this is where I'm going, right? Because I got to put it into context. I started following this one guy who talked deep about conspiracy and all that, but he was a believer. Oh. He was into the new era thing, and then he gets saved. Then he starts talking about Jesus. And then he starts talking about repentance. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what is that? I mean, I know what it means, but how do you experience that? Like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's not a word that you hear.
Yeah, like, how do I do that? You know, how do I feel that? So, you know, we moved in together, you know, after we got married, and my wife had a Bible with her. I was like, okay. And I used to say the Bible, you know, is for control and it's man written. And
yeah, you were already indoctrinated with Illuminati.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, this is all, you know, to manipulate the masses. So we started getting into scripture. I said, you know what? That's kind of foolish, man, because I don't know nothing about the Bible. Even though I went to private Catholic school, right? But I never cracked open the Bible. I didn't know no commandments.
You know who Jesus was, right?
Well, yeah. I knew Jesus, but I was like, whatever. So she was a big fan of Bob Marley, and we started watching documentaries and all that, and we started cracking open the scriptures. And one day, this is probably like 3 months into our marriage, I was home alone, bro, and I just had felt that need to read scripture. And I remember, because we didn't have a base on our bed, so I remember just getting on my knees and cracking the Bible open. And it wasn't because posture, it was just for comfort. So I remember it was Proverbs. I can't remember the exact chapter, but I started reading it, bro, and it literally felt like a mirror of my inner being, like my soul. And I was like, whoa. And like looking at a, like the swamp monster, you know, like all gross,
hurting out,
nasty, bro, and I just got disgusted, and that's where I broke down, bro, and I just broke down, and I just start crying to God. I'm like, you know, forgive me, I'm just, forgive me, Lord, like, I just broke down, bro. Just start crying and asking for, like, crying out for forgiveness. And that's when I felt, you know, God's
Holy
presence,
Spirit,
bro. And I was like, oh, my goodness. After I wept and let it all out, I just felt this peace that surpassed my understanding. Oh, man, it was such a beautiful experience, right? And then my wife gets home from her job, and I start telling her, hey, you know, I just experienced this, and it was beautiful, and whoop-de-whoop. And she's just looking at me like, okay. Now, keep
another
in mind.
Another conspiracy theory problem.
Well, but she her dad, he became a believer, but he wasn't, like, really active. Like, he wasn't walking it out. At least it didn't show. But she went to church, like, that's why she had a Bible, and so she knew of about it, but, you know, she had her own experience with God, and then I called the dude that sold that seed, the conspiracy guy, because he lived
repentance
in Ensenada.
Guy.
Yeah, and I did, because I knew about the churches, how they manipulate and, you know, corruption and all that, so I was like, hey, man. Like, which church do you recommend me to go? Because I want to go to a church where they're going to
teach the Bible.
Yeah, like, they're not going to corrupt it. So he tells me, hey, man, there's this church. He's mentioned a few, but I remember he said Calvary Chapel. I was like, oh, okay. So I looked it up, and there was one in Oceanside, and that was the first church I went to, Christian church.
Bro, so how was that experience? You show up to church. You show up by yourself?
No.
With Nayeli?
Where Nayeli.
Okay, so you show up. You're there. She's there. What do you hear? What do you feel like?
Well, I'm just like, okay. I mean, I wasn't too into the worship, you know? I was like, okay, you know. The praise God and hallelujah, that was okay.
But Calvary Chapel is different. Like, oh, yeah. I think they just do like kind of like country kind of. No,
no, no. It was in Spanish.
Oh, okay. Oh, so júbilo.
Yeah. And then it was cool. I mean, once they got into the Word, I started learning, and I just never looked back, bro. You know, I'll never look back, but I did act on my ignorance. You know, that pride, that, you know, all that pain that I had and all that stuff that I'm recently aware of, I just, you know, spiritualized it. And like I said, I was bashing, you know, the religion that I grew up in, and now I'm calling out, you know, all the false idols, and, you know, I was just acting on ignorance because I didn't have discipleship. I didn't even know the Holy Spirit, bro. You know, I didn't heard about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I heard about it, but I didn't get to know the Holy Spirit until I was probably like a year at least into my walk. But I'm just eating, you know, I'm just eating the Word, listening to, you know, podcasts or, you know.
You're basically reading the Bible for just words and not being inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know, because sometimes, you know, we see scholars, bro, they read the Bible and it's just words, mm-hmm. right? It's a story, yeah. But it's not being given to him by the Holy Spirit revelado, no?
Yeah.
So it's like I know a lot of people like that. They read the Bible and like, oh, I can't get nothing out of it. Yeah, because you have a defense. You're looking at it at a different angle. You're looking at it, how can I use this for my benefit, right?
Well, I did eat it up. Like, I took it as the Word of God.
And, okay.
And, yeah, I wasn't like, oh, no, this, no. I, like, once I came, I have that experience, I was like, okay. You know, it's like, experiencing love for the first time, you know, it's like, okay, I love my wife.
Yeah.
There's no way to prove it other than my actions towards her. But I knew it. He was there. I met him there, you know?
So who discipled you?
So I didn't get discipled until I'm talking about maybe
a couple of
4 years.
Four years.
Yeah. From Calvary Chapel, I started going to Maranatha Chapel right there in Forest Ranch. Oh, it's a white church, mostly white folks. Big, big church, but the pastor was super dope. Ray Bentley, God rest his soul. He's with the Lord now.
I heard of him.
Yeah, Ray Bentley. Yeah, he's super humble, good pastor. You know, when I gave my life to God, bro, I'm still bumping, you know, all the gangster stuff and all that. I wasn't a big Too Short fan, but not for real. I was just, you know. But all of a sudden, bro, it was hurting my ears. All the content, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh. Obviously that was the Holy Spirit, but once again, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I just couldn't take that music anymore. So I started looking up and, you know, on YouTube, Christian rap and Christian hip hop. And, you know, some dudes are popping up. I was like, okay, this is dope. And then I hear Seven from Hog Mob. Right? And the song was called End of Days, something like that. And, bro, he's talking about the conspiracies and all this stuff, but he's talking about Jesus, you know? When I heard that, bro, I was like, whoa. Like, this is...
It's speaking to you.
Yeah, this is what I'm bumping. And I just became an instant fan. And yeah, so they had a show. We're talking about years later, right? They had a show right there on Calvary Chapel in Oceanside, first church I went to. Him and
what year was this?
This was probably like 2016, 17. I got saved in 2013. So we're talking about a few years later.
Dang, that's crazy. I got saved in 2007.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're more seasoned than I am.
That's crazy.
So I met a bunch of the squad, bunch of the mob, and I met Dante. Shout out to my boy Dante. And we started chopping it up, and he was like super cool, bro. And he invited me. They did a video shoot for his song Long Time, which is a classic. Super dope song.
Oh, you're in there, huh? I think I saw you.
No, I'm not in that video. He invited me to be, but I couldn't go because I had to work.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I was like, man, I missed out. And then I heard they were going to have another show nearby my house where I live. So I pulled up. It was at a Salvation Army right there on University. The big one, the Croc Center, I think it's called. And I walked in, bro, and he just showed mad love. Yo, what's up, bro? Woo-woo. Like we've been homies, you know what I'm saying? And a bunch of the hogs right there, they were showing mad love. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, hey, man. You know, they did the show and everything. And at the end, he's like, hey, bro, you know, we're going to have a Bible study if you want to pull up. I was like, all right, bet. So I did. They used to have it right there off of Claremont at the studio, Mandate Studio. Shout out to Mandate. And, bro, I went to their first Bible study, and I was like, whoa, this is gangster. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was.
You fell in love with the community, huh?
Yeah. It's the just
brotherhood.
Yeah.
The way they were so real.
Yeah. Just real, raw. It was, you know, a bunch of gangsters, bro, that, you know, gangsters, hustlers, pimps, like, what society considers the worst of the worst. And I just felt like home, you know? So it's funny because now I think about it, it's probably my journey as a kid, but now it's in spiritual. Because I started going to this mega church, and it's all like, it's in Forest Ranch, right next to Rancho Bernardo's. And they were cool. They were, you know, nice people, but I didn't really connect them like
yeah.
that. But with these brothers, and then Dante took me under his wing, and you know, we would go out to eat. You know, he's like, yo, bro, let's go to the studio, and I would pull up. And I told them that I rapped and stuff, but you know, that I didn't get put on or anything like that.
Because that wasn't your angle. You wanted to learn about God.
So I did, in the beginning I did. I was like, I was hitting people up, like.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, I shot Seven an email.
And, oh, you did?
Yeah, but, it was, you know, once I got to know Seven, he's like, yeah, good luck, bro. I'm hitting up, what are these, Aposento Alto. Oh. I heard them, and I was like, oh, these guys are dope. And I remember I got their WhatsApp, and they're like, oh, no, you know, we charge $1,000. And then I threw the typical, oh, Jesus wouldn't do that, and you know, but I'm just a baby in the faith, just acting like a baby, you know. And yeah, so I was just there to serve, to learn and serve. That was it. Until, yeah, like probably a year later or so, they put me on a flyer, and I was like, yo, tell you, it was in Vegas. I'm like, yo, I'm on the flyer. Like, he's like, yeah, you're going to perform. I was like, what? Like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's how I got discipled.
Bro, that's so dope that he took the time. He took the time to be with you. I kind of knew a little bit about it, but because nowadays it's hard. It's hard, bro, because he was busy. You know what I mean? And plus, you know, he definitely was God inspired for him to say, hey, bro, I'm going to take you to eat or go eat or whatever and just spend time with you. Bro, what is something that you... Oh man, this question, I don't want to, well, I'm going to say, okay, what's something, bro, that you think being, you're in a relationship, what is something that, an error or a mistake, because you told me that you fell in love with Jesus, but did Nayeli fall in love with Jesus?
She did. But
same time?
Shortly after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shortly after.
Because that would have been another battle, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bro, like, man, I salute to all y'all brothers who are single, man. Because, for reals, like, I admire y'all. Only Christian. I admire y'all, bro.
Really get you right now.
To me, that's probably one of the hardest things. Like, God has.
It is, man. It is. People think it's easy, right? Oh, you're single, you're lucky. Nah, bro, it's a challenge.
Bro.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Hey, Chris is like, yeah.
Maybe we can speak about that one day.
Yeah.
The challenge of being single.
Well, no, okay. You think about it, like, I was very lustful, bro. As a matter of fact, I stopped consuming porn after I met my wife. You know, God used her to cut that off for me. Cause I just lost
appetite. Yeah.
Now I'm falling in love. Now I'm like falling for this girl. Crazy. Like I've never fallen into a girl like her ever. So anyways, what happened is that I'm more passionate, bro. Like I go all in. You know what I'm saying?
Like me almost. Yeah. That's why we get along, bro. You're también exagero mucho.
So it did become a conflict because
you're moving too fast. She's moving.
Yeah, she's taking
maybe not at your speed or taking her time.
And she's not as open as I am.
Yeah.
She's more reserved. You know, I'm outgoing. I'm like trying to get. I'm networking, spiritually networking.
Any people emails?
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I'm not really into all that. So the biggest mistake that I made was not waiting on her. Yeah. I wouldn't say not waiting on her growth, but not. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I definitely have to talk about this briefly. When her father passed away in 2018, I was still very spiritually immature, even though I'm being discipled, right?
That's 3 years in.
In my discipleship?
Being Christian.
Yeah. Well, no, that's 5 years in.
Oh, you said 12?
No, 13.
Oh, 13.
No, 12. Yeah. My bad. I have the timeline a little mixed up. But no, yeah, I got saved at 2012, so this happened in 2018. So yeah, 6 years in, and her dad passes away, right? And my faith is shaken because I'm declaring. And then at that time, I was watching this guy who's well known, but I'm not going to put his name out there. He's one of those guys that's performing miracles on the streets and stretching people's legs and, you know what I'm saying? Like, being his miraculous, you know, disciple of his, you know, and I'm going to put a name. So I'm like, well, hey, I have the same spirit and I should be able to do the same thing, right? And then, because my father-in-law, he got detected with brain cancer and he lived for a whole year. After they removed the tumor, that was a miracle. And I actually prayed for my in-laws in the hospital. That was the first time I ever prayed with them. And her dad passes away. My faith is shaken, bro. My faith is shaken. I'm like, yo, what? Like, did I not pray hard enough? Did I not pray the right words? Like, what happened, God? And then my wife, obviously, she's broken, devastated. I mean, she lost her dad, bro. I don't know. Thank God I still have both of my parents. I don't know nothing about that. I don't know what it feels like. So I'm just like, hey, you know, the scripture says that we're going to be reunited in the resurrection and there's hope. And, you know, like almost, I don't
You're giving them the right information, but not at the right time.
Exactly. I'm not being there for her. And this is what Seven told me, because I shared with him this and he corrected me. He's like, bro, your wife did not need a preacher, a pastor,
facts,
a scripture. you know, prayer. She needed her husband.
Mm.
And I wasn't there for her, bro. I wasn't there for her. Because I, she did, that. That's not what she wanted. And that's not what a person that loses a loved one wants. Because the Bible says very clear, weep with those who weep, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice and, you know, sing songs. And but it does say weep with those who weep. And I didn't empathize with her. Because I, my thought is like, okay, well, I need to lift her up. I need to give her hope. I need to, you know, not to let her get depressed. But it actually backfired. Because I would go home, I would get home sometimes from work, bro, the baby's asleep and she's in the bathroom just like bawling.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest mistake. And for everybody that's checking this out, if you're ever going through a situation like that, you know, a friend loses a loved one, or
just be there.
Just be there. Like, don't say nothing.
Yeah, don't say nothing.
By the grace of God, he has given me the second chance. She has given me the second chance. And now there's been times where I can just be there for her and just let her weep, let her mourn, you know? So that's definitely the biggest mistake. And also with my kids as well. I wasn't paying attention with my daughter. I told you this, bro. Obviously, I'm not proud of it, but I haven't seen my daughter in over two years now, you know, because I wasn't there for her. You know, she told me one time through a text message, I was literally, what's the word she used? Like, I was being destroyed, like, in your face, and you didn't see it.
Mm.
Because I'm preacher, man. I'm like, I'm being called to, you know, to
yeah, I get it.
The gospel when, and I'm just like on fire for God, but I wasn't paying attention to those closer to me, even with my son too, my middle son. He did something very foul. I'm not going to put it out there at, you know, to my wife. And for me, instead of being a dad and disciplining him, I was like, okay, hey, you're going to repent right now, and you're going to, and I'm going to lead you to the sinner's prayer. And I did that, bro, ignorantly, you know.
Using religion and not love?
That part.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm anti-religion, boom, boom. And I was, to my family, I was the biggest Pharisee, you know.
Yeah. Bro, it's dope that you see it now.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You see it now, even though, you know, it's something where, man, can things get well quick for me, please, right? Because it's almost like you learn the lesson, but you know, there's something where they're going to come around. They're going to come around. You know, we've talked about this before. And because you're doing good things now where you're planting seeds of being patient and not, you know, forcing yourself. And because tus hijos ya son adultos, you know? Yeah.
Well, you reap what you sow, bro.
Yeah.
That's a universal law.
Yeah.
That's how God created the universe.
But you're doing new seeds, bro.
Well, yeah, but it takes time.
Yeah. Harvest takes time, bro.
You know? But 100%. At the same token, I sowed those seeds way, you know, a few years back. So now I'm reaping all those seeds that I sowed. Right? So now I just got to bite the bullet, you know, and own it. Not say, oh, well, it was because X, Y, and Z, and, you know.
You know, I hated my dad, too. You know that.
Yeah.
And it's going to come a time where they're going to be like, I need my dad. And it's going to be today. And you're going to get that call. And it's going to be a beautiful moment, bro.
Yeah.
Beautiful
moment. And that's what gives me peace, bro.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I think about it often.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes it tries to get me. And obviously the enemy, you know, trying to like...
Mentiroso, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know, get he's you. Trying to get me. But it's like, homie...
Trying to discourage you.
I chop your tongue off with the word, you know what I'm saying? So there ain't no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you know? Yeah. So don't try to come at me with that. But, you know, I'm... Like I said, bro... I'm going through therapy. I have a super dope mentor. Shout out to Erwin McManus, his son Aaron McManus. Those guys have literally, those are prayers being answered. Because I would pray like, Lord, I'm praying for my marriage and heal my marriage and you know, with my kids and whoop-de-whoop. But I'm thinking like, oh, God is going to do like, ping.
Right.
He's going to pull out his, like his little,
rod.
Yeah, the wong or whatever it's called. He's just going to do magic.
Right.
Bam. Without me doing the work. But no, he gave me the tools. He gave me the tools. And he gave me the vision too, bro. You know, I mean, that's why we're here. You know, gave me the vision with Faye Ware. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, I don't want to, but like a clothing line, like I don't, there's a bunch of clothing lines. Like why start another clothing? Like, yeah.
Seems I don't like want everybody to do has that. A clothing line.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pioneer Films.
I'm like, but it all, like, that was a beginning point. And then I thought it was just going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to start making money selling clothes and cool. Nah. Now it's like, I need to become that person to be able to manage that. And, you know, God gave us the vision to start this podcast. Well, start off with the IG Live. And then by the grace of God, he gave us Dylan. He put Dylan in our lives. And, you know, he said, yo, bro, I can make this thing happen. I got all the stuff. And Chris came along. And, you know, these guys have been a tremendous blessing. And we've been growing. I mean, look at it right now, bro. It's super dope.
Super dope.
You know what I'm saying? We had our humble beginnings, but that's how everything starts.
Yeah. So. Bro, so we ran out of time, bro.
Let's get it.
And we're going to do the 5 Yastas questions real quick, bro. All
right.
Shut this sucker down, bro. Yeah. Bro, thank you for being so open, bro, and being brave to speak about it, bro, because everybody would kind of hide that. You know what I mean? They were tucking in, bro. Be like, nah, like a faja, right? For a fat dude. Tuck it in, bro.
Well, I think that's the biggest issue with the church is that we want to
tuck it in.
Well, yeah. We want to portray some, like everything is all good.
Yeah.
Performer. And we hide, yeah.
Performer.
And we hide all of our issues.
Yeah. Facts.
So, that's okay. What we're trying to promote here.
Bien rapidito. So we're going to do the 5 Yastas questions. Question number one, bro. Bro, I'm going to start with the Bible verse. So Jesus said this, bro, Matthew 9:37. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great and it's ready, but the workers are few. What does that Bible mean to you, bro?
Man, that means that the harvest is, you know, the harvest is the people, bro.
Yeah.
People are hungry for God right now. But the ones that are willing to put in that work and love, like love people, that's the challenging part. Because we could all go out there and preach the gospel.
Ingredient, bro. That's the main ingredient.
And we could all be out there and, hey, you know, Jesus is Lord and heaven or hell and fire and brimstone if you don't give your life to Jesus. But that's just preaching the gospel in fear. Like, no, bro, you don't even have to say Jesus. You just got to go in there and just be there for people.
Yeah.
Or you know, like, shout out to Fearless. You know, I'm rocking the Fearless hat.
That's a Fearless hat, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Then they got the SD logo.
Shout out to Fearless, to Mosaic.
You, Dylan, the Creedos?
To Mosaic up there in L.A. with the fires, bro. They're just being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, just helping people, feeding people, and serving people without asking questions, you know.
Okay, question number two. Can you disciple people from a long distance?
Man, that's a tough one. True discipleship? Nah. I mean, you can teach them the word and, you know, you can educate them. You know, you can be a professor, but yeah, you need that You need that one-on-one, you know.
That one-on-one.
Like we bringing the kingdom of God here on earth is literally following Jesus. And how he discipled, like he spent 3 years with his disciples. Like doing life with them.
Sleeping with them, bro.
Breaking bread.
Breaking bread.
Going through crazy experiences. Cause
we spend time together.
Yeah.
All right, question number three, bro. So the Bible says our heart is deceiving. How can we separate those deceiving thoughts, bro?
Well, you have to know the truth, right?
You know, oh.
So I really like this analogy, and it stuck to me, and it's going to stay with me until I die. The FBI doesn't study counterfeit money. Right? Like saying, oh, well, you know, now they came out with this.
They
study. Now they came up with that. They study to the T, bro. Like, they identified the real, real bill.
That's a bar.
Right? Because if they know the real bill, they're going to identify the counterfeit. So we have to study the Word of God. So we have to study the character of God, how he operated, and read between the lines, because sometimes we skip. Sometimes just we read things fast. You know, for like, quick example, when they asked Jesus, okay, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God with all your mind, body, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. Right? I think we definitely need to do a pod on that. Because how are you going to give something that you don't have?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So you got to love yourself in order to love others, right? So I think that's where we drop the ball as well, is that do we really love ourselves? You know? So
yeah,
that'll be a different topic for another time. But yeah, we have to know the truth in order to detect the lie.
Yeah. And those thoughts can, woo, they could take it to a dark place.
Oh, yeah.
Depression, anxiety.
Well, if you entertain them,
yeah, don't.
If you entertain those thoughts, if you entertain the lie, wherever you put your attention, it grows.
Yeah, 100%. All right, question number four. It's a food question. You're from San Diego, bro. Give me your. Where do you like to eat breakfast? Where do you like to eat lunch? And where do you prefer dinner? Like spots. So for breakfast, okay, first.
Breakfast.
Yolk.
No.
Okay.
It's good though, but. Man, am I going to get paid for this?
I know, for real.
Breakfast is the Morning Glory.
Okay.
Morning Glory is my favorite breakfast joint.
Okay. Lunch?
Lunch? That's a tough one. I really like this. We went the other day to El Comal, but I really like this one spot. It's called Borrego.
Borrego, where's that?
Right there on City Heights, right there on El Cajon and Boulevard and Fairmont.
Little hole in the wall?
To Borrego, yeah.
Okay.
Family, like mom and pop spot, and that's the most, for me, is the most authentic Mexican food here in SD. They're from Michoacán.
Okay.
And dinner?
Don't say Marine Room, bro.
Ha.
You been there?
I've never been there, no.
Okay.
No. Carver, bro.
Huh?
Carver's.
Okay.
That's the spot where I work at. That's my gig.
No, I've been there, right, Chris? We haven't been there, right?
Oh, I still owe you guys a Christmas dinner, man.
All right. Question number five, bro. So in 2024, they did a study, bro. Check this out. 87% of adults between 18 and 27 years old don't understand the meaning of life, bro. And they don't know their calling, or they can't even choose a career.
How was the percentage again?
87, bro.
Yikes.
Yeah. Why do you think that percentage is so high? 87%, bro. That's how.
I think going back to not knowing ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, we chase the money. We're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna follow this. I'm gonna study. I'm gonna become a doctor because they get paid a lot of money. But that's not your calling. You know, you were not created to be a doctor, so you don't have any passion to become a doctor. So where we, like, that's how money operates, bro. If we chase it, it runs away. But if we put money to work, it's going to work for us. You know? So that being said, is that I think it's because we chase money and not really tapping into ourselves. Like, what do I want to be? Like, what is it that I enjoy to do? What is it that I'm passionate about? And at the end of the day, bro, our calling is to serve one another.
Yeah.
That's our calling. So if we're in it just to benefit from others, then, you know, we're going to fall short. So I think that's why a lot of people burn out. That's why a lot of people drop out of school. That's why there's a lot of people that have degrees and are not doing anything with it. Me being included in that statistic, because I just did it. I was like, okay, well, you know, it's going to be a cool career and I'm going to be able to get a pension and boom, boom. But my passion wasn't in it. So, you know, so yeah, it's
thank you for sharing.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for sharing. You know what? One more thing, bro. The 87%, they're saying that in a couple of years, it's going to go up to 90, bro.
I love the way you dig into that statistic. It's super high, though.
You know what? We're doing the new year, new vision for the middle school.
Oh, okay.
So one of the first goals that you should have is putting God first so he can help you complete your goals.
Mm.
So yeah. Putting God first and, you know, creating small goals.
Well, once again, it's getting to know God and getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And because God wired us that way so we can serve others, you know? So,
man, that is it, man. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Comment, subscribe, share. Hey, don't forget, we're going to be doing a raffle for a t-shirt. Bro, you want one of the Fed wear? Show me your shirt, bro.
That's a spiritual weapon.
Yeah, man, we got muscle tees. What are they called? Muscle shirts.
No, you don't have that. We're not ready for that. Oh,
okay,
man. It's too cold.
Okay,
I mean, if you want one, you can get one.
But comment, put down. Let's do it like this. Comment your shirt size, and then that will tell us that you've been listening or whatever, and then, you know, we'll send you a shirt.
Yeah, for real.
God bless you guys. Thank you for joining.
Yo.
Yeah, man. Peace.
Peace out. Mob it. Junior on the beat, boy.
Ya estás, podcast, boy. Let's go. Ya estás, no vuelvo pa' atrás, libre del Alcatraz, en la guerra tengo paz. Mis metralletas es la oración y adoración, salvación pa' mi nación, manifestar el reino es la meta. Puesta la armadura, que las criaturas andan duras de la dimensión oscura, mi alma se apresura.